working on touch, whether your window is resizing or you're working on the phone, we make sure the control automatically adjusts for you. And again, this is something that we have there built directly into that. We've also done a lot of work with XAML, specifically around the work that in Visual State Manager. How many of you have used Visual State Manager in the past? Right, not necessarily the easiest thing to use, but we've made sure that you can do all the responsive design stuff that you would expect to be able to do in XAML directly from the Visual State Manager. And part of the things, one of the things that we've made that we've done that makes that possible is this idea of adaptive triggers. So now in XAML you have an adaptive trigger that in this case it's going to change based upon the minimum size of the window. It's 720 pixels here. And you can set, you can have property setters and getters, based upon whatever you have in that adaptive trigger. So you can do all of your different layout for all of your different form factors and window resizing and everything directly inside the XAML using triggers and Visual State Manager. Now, forward through this. What we've also added in is the ability to not only do standard adaptive triggers that are built directly into the product, but you have extensible triggers so that if there's something we didn't think of, something that you know, you want to be able to change the user interface for that is not something that's built in, you can create your own triggers and use them in exactly the same way. And I'll show you really quickly here what the code for that looks like. Let's switch to one, please. So in this case, what I have is a trigger we created called the device family trigger. And this trigger, if you're on mobile, it is going to display in a certain way. If you're on desktop, it's going to display in another way. If you're on Xbox, it'll display in a different way. So in the same XAML, we're able to use these triggers to be able to adjust the display of the interface based upon the platform that you're on. And that's one of the ways of doing that. And the trigger for that is actually quite simple. So here is that device family trigger, the source code for it. You see, all it does is it uses some of our built-in classes to get information about the platform. Now again, you can make this pull information from anything that you want. It could be combinations of orientation and resolution. It could be combinations of device plus orientation, or device plus resolution, or any other number of different things. Or it could be based on whether or not you have a controller attached, or whether or not it's touch. Again, it's entirely up to you what you want to include in this, because you have full control, because it's just code. And that we surface up through XAML and make possible to do that. So let me go back to four. And in fact, one of the developers out there, Morten Nielsen, anybody here know Morten? Morten is one of our MVPs. He does a lot of really great work. He's created a GitHub repo full of extensible triggers that he has put out there. He's made them freely available. The source is all freely available. You all can use that. And I would encourage you, as you work through and come up with new things like different types of triggers in for Windows 10, you know, please go share them with the world, post them as open source, post them as GitHub, make them available so that all the other developers here can benefit from your knowledge and benefit from your experience. I think together, by putting all of these into repos and making them available, it's going to make it much easier for us all to be able to build really cool applications that cover all the different devices that Windows 10 supports. Now, that wasn't the only way to support different different devices. Another way to do this is to provide completely separate XAML files, same code behind, but completely separate XAML files that support each of the different platforms. And if you've done anything with different DPI resolutions of images or different languages in Visual Studio, starting with Windows 8, you know that we have some patterns that you can follow just based on naming of files or naming of folders, where we will automatically pull the appropriate, in those cases, images or language resources based upon a decision made at runtime by, you know, what platform attributes we have. In this case, we will automatically pull the correct version of the user interface based upon whether you're on Xbox or whether you're on something like Surface Hub, or whether you're on a phone or whether you're on a PC. So we have controls that automatically adapt for you. We have the ability to use extensible triggers so that you can create all these different user interfaces in the same XAML file. And then we also have the ability to have full customization, so completely separate XAML files. And we think that different applications are going to need different amounts of each, but we wanted to make sure that we gave you all the tools that you need and all the choice that you need to be able to create really great applications that scale across all of these devices. We've done a bunch of other cool stuff. We've added in change notifications so you can subscribe to changes on dependency properties. We've added in perspective transform, which is cool for 3D effects. One of the things that we learned with Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 is one of the things that most of you are missing most is Windows. So we added support for being able to have your application show up in a window. And as part of that, we included the ability here to modify the Chrome around the window. So you can change the title bars, you can add buttons to it, you can do all the things that you would expect to do to have full control over the user experience for your application. And then of course, earlier today you saw drag and drop, and Jeff did a demo for that. So that's something that is one of the biggest requests that we've gotten from folks just like you. Now let's talk a little bit about performance. What do you think all of these have in common? Besides the fact that they're all on the same slide. Anybody want to guess?
They had sugar in that stuff you were eating, right? It's like good? Okay. Every single one of these is XAML, right? We use XAML in Windows, just like you use XAML in your applications. So we validate it internally. We use this stuff. In Redmond, we call it dog fooding, right? Eating your own dog food. We use all of the same tools, all of the same products, all of the same UI capabilities that you use and have available to you. And what this does is when you have something like Windows, something as important as the start menu in Windows relying on your tool set, you make sure that it's really fast, and you make sure that it's really lightweight, and you make sure it performs the way everybody would want it to perform. And so the XAML team has gotten a lot of feedback, not just from you all, we get tons of that and we definitely incorporate that in, but also from Windows and Office and other groups internally who are using our same products. And this is really important for us because in the past, we used to create custom frameworks for UI that you guys didn't have access to. They were internal things, like Office used its own thing, and Windows used its own thing, and other products used their own thing. Now we're using exactly the same stuff that you all have access to. So what kind of performance increase can you get simply by moving to the Universal Windows platform in Windows 10? If you take your Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 app and simply recompile it as a Windows 10 app, you get about 15% to 30% decrease in CPU usage. That's pretty significant, important if you're working on small devices. And then probably even more important is we have a 25% to 45% reduction in memory usage. So simply by taking your existing app from 8.1 or 8 and recompiling it to run on Windows 10, you immediately get these benefits of it being faster and smaller. And we've also increased the startup performance so that your application, from the moment that user clicks or taps on that tile to the time when they see your application, is significantly reduced in Windows 10. How many people here use data binding? Excellent, okay. Data binding is awesome. It's the main reason many people use XAML, right? But one of the things that we've realized over time is data binding is also kind of slow. The stuff that we do behind the scenes to make binding work is based on strings, and it's not strongly typed, and it's not compiled, and it does lookups at runtime. And so if you have an application with lots and lots of fields on the screen, then you very quickly start to see performance issues in there. That you wouldn't see if you had just directly used setters and just set text properties and stuff yourself. And so what we've done in Windows 10, and believe me, we actually considered removing binding completely. That was one of the things we're looking at. It's like that was a hard decision we thought of. Like, do we just remove binding so that applications perform better? But we heard loud and clear, do not remove binding. You all will let us know if we remove binding. You will probably come and bang down our doors. So what we did is we introduced this new x:bind. And what x:bind does is it strongly compiles and generates code at compile time to do the binding. It actually does all the property sets and gets behind the scenes at compile time, so it's not a runtime hit. So this is something that we really want folks to use in their applications because it's going to really increase performance, especially when you have lots of fields on the screen at the same time. And it works pretty much just like binding before. There are some limitations there that you have to look at. You need to, you know, in a data template, you need to provide the type that you're going to be binding to, so you can't really, you know, you have to be more rigorous about the types that you have there and not just say, hey, it's going to bind to anything that happens to have a text field. You know, we need to provide more information there. But once we have that, we're able to validate the fields at compile time. So you get a compile time error if your field name is wrong, and then you get the huge performance increase of using X:5. How many of you have ever used an application where you're swiping across the screen and then some of the boxes stop rendering? They stop showing up blank. Like, you have lots of stuff you're scrolling through and then things just don't render. Couple of folks here. We think of that as kind of like a movie browsing scenario, where if you have a movie or a TV browsing app, you're just swiping through lots and lots of stuff to try to get to a certain point in that list, and then things stop rendering because the system can't keep up with the frame rate that's required. So what we introduced in Windows 8.1 was the ability to, in code, specify a phase. So you can sort of specify, hey, go ahead and render a background tile, right? And then if I have enough time, render a text field that says what this entry is. And then if I still have enough time, go ahead and put an image back there or something. So you can prioritize each of the things that you want to render in there, and we will go through and do it in phases. But that required a bunch of code to do that, and not everybody liked that approach. So what we introduced in Windows 10 here is the ability to set phases directly in XAML. So in this case, if you're scrolling through very quickly, the first thing we'll display is the display name, and then only if we have enough rendering time left we'll display the date in those boxes as well. So again, really good to make sure that you have the most appropriate experience for your application. Similarly, we've added in the ability to defer loading. So if you have a part of the screen that's not going to be used right away, maybe it's in a pop-up, maybe it's in a menu, maybe it's, you know, something else that you just know the user is not going to use immediately, we make it possible for you to defer the loading of that so you avoid that, that load time hit of parsing all that XAML and filling up the visual tree. We've done a lot of work in Visual Studio. So we have a new language compiler service that's based on Roslyn. This is great because if you've used Visual Studio lately, you've probably noticed that the XAML parser is just snappier. It feels better, it's tighter, it just works nicer. So we have decoupled that completely from the designer, and we've introduced this as just like a brand new service that's inside there, just to make sure that that performs really well so that you can use both the XAML designer and the XAML editor and feel comfortable with either one. We've added in design modes. So earlier today in Jeff's keynote, you saw that inside Visual Studio, you can say, I want to see what my screen is going to look like on a, you know, a 5-inch phone or a 12-inch tablet or some other device. That's more than just preview. You're actually actively designing in that mode for that device. And so we built that directly into Visual Studio and made sure that that's really tightly integrated with XAML. How many people here have used F12 tools for web debugging? Good number of folks. XAML folks have wanted this type of functionality for a long time. We didn't have F12 tools. We had some third-party products that kind of did what we wanted. But what we really wanted was the ability to run the application, highlight something on the screen, and then modify it at runtime. Not have to go back, remember what field it was, change it in Visual Studio, etc. So we now have that in Visual Studio as part of this Visual Tree Inspector and the ability to modify these things directly at runtime. And then finally in Visual Studio, we've added in profiling tools. So we want to make sure that you have everything that you need to know where the slow parts of your application are, where the fast parts of your application are, and what you need to change. And we've made that available to everybody in all the editions of Visual Studio. Earlier today during the IoT session, I showed you the device family or some of the different types of extension SDKs. Remember, we have the Universal Windows platform is standard across all devices, but there are some additional APIs that just don't make sense to have on every device. My desktop doesn't need to be able to have a built-in cellular phone dialer, right? That might be kind of interesting, but I don't really need it, right? And so we've made sure that we've partitioned some of these things out so you can still keep your applications really small and be able to pull in functionality that you want when you want for your application. And the example I showed earlier today was GPIO. Not every device out there has general purpose IO, but only some do. We've also made it possible for you to then query to see if a type is present. So inside your application, if you want to be able to see if there's a GPIO controller present, you can use this API is type present check here to find out, is that present? Is that usable? And that is, again, something that works across all of the different APIs in the system. And this is what we do instead of conditional compilation. You don't want to have to produce a different compile for each device. Instead, you use a check like this. In Windows 8.1, the phone had one navigation model, and the desktop or tablets had a different navigation model. In the phone, if you kept hitting back, eventually it would bring you to the previous application. And the desktop just didn't work that way. And then the Xbox was also quite different. And so what we did here is we've unified the navigation model across all of these different devices, so you don't have to have kind of strange code to figure out, if I'm on a phone, then I know that the back button does this, versus if I'm on an Xbox, it does this. We based it on what we did with the phone. We found that was the most complete model and the one that made the most sense on all platforms, and now that is standardized across everything in UWP. We've also added in, how many of you have done protocol activation in Windows 8? A few folks. You use it to launch, like say, Skype to be able to make a call. So you use a URL that's like Skype colon whack whack, and then the information to be able to initiate a phone call. And that was a really cool way to integrate with other applications, but what it didn't provide was the ability to get information back from the other application. So we have new APIs in here that make it possible for you to not only send through a URL parameters to another application, but also get results back. And it's not just launching another application, you can do that, but it's also just using functionality. And the reason why that's important is because you can now integrate with other apps without the user having to leave your app. You don't lose the user anymore when you want to use the other functionality on the system. So again, this is a really important improvement. We've done a lot with tiles in Windows 10. We've not only added additional templates, but we've made it possible for you to have templates that adapt to the size that they're on. So if you have a list of messages or a list of email messages in your application, if the user has a small tile, we'll show just one or two of those, but if they have more real estate and more space in the tile, we might show three or four of those. Again, these are going to adapt automatically based upon what's available. Toast in Windows 8.1 is something else that we know lots of people were interested in using, but it was really basic. So the Toast templates in Windows 8.1 were really, they generally came down, even though there were a bunch of different ones, they generally came down to like these two, where you showed an image and some text, or you just showed some text. So the first thing that we've done is we've unified Toast across all the different devices. So if you're on a desktop, the Toast looks the way you would expect, and if you're on mobile, it also looks the way you expect. But they are, again, used differently and presented differently, but they are the same template and they are unified across these different devices. The other thing that we did was we made it possible to have interactive Toast. So earlier I mentioned you don't want to have to have the user leave your application to use functionality in other apps. One of the things that we've done to make that possible is have the ability to have interactive Toast. So now you can integrate with the user's workflow, for example, to accept a call or to be able to type in a message without that user having to leave another app. They can just type the response or take the action directly inside that Toast message. Because you shouldn't have to pull up another app just to accept or decline. And you shouldn't need a modal dialogue or any other crazy stuff for that. So this, again, gives you a way to interact with the user without taking them out of their workflow and without them losing context. So one of the last things I want to talk about here is .NET Native. Anybody here ever use .NET Native? Or know what it is? Nobody. One person did, okay. .NET Native is native compilation for managed code applications. How many of you are C++ programmers? Wow, quite a few of you. Did you want to be C++ programmers? Was this a choice? Okay, only a few of you. Probably the rest of you chose C++ either because that's what the job required and you're gonna be fired if you didn't use it, or because C++ is really fast. C++ is still the way to create the smallest, fastest applications on Windows and other platforms. But you don't get the productivity of something like C#, right? I mean, C++ is super powerful and super fast, but the reason why C# is so popular these days is because there's a lot of productivity, a lot of developer productivity associated with that. But we didn't think that you should have to make the trade-off between what the user's experience is going to be like, you know, a slightly slower application, versus the developer productivity. Like, we don't like that trade-off. We want you to have both productivity as well as a really fast, really performant application. So what we've done here is we've made it possible to natively compile your .NET applications. So what does that mean? That means a 60% savings in CPU usage on a cold start. That means if your user is launching your application right then, it takes 60% less CPU to launch that application, right? That's pretty good, especially on really small devices that are very popular in Asia and India and places like that. If the application was already launched earlier in the day and some of the stuff is cached, it's a 40% improvement. Still very, very good. And then I think one of the more important things here is it's a 30% smaller memory footprint, right? I see a number of Windows phones out here in the audience. There are Windows phones that are really inexpensive, very low power, they only have like 512 meg of memory, etc., right? So they're made to be just really inexpensive utilitarian phones. And up until we did this, it was very difficult to have a .NET app that ran really well on those low power phones, right? So we've done this, and now your applications can target those devices without hogging the resources and still providing a really great user experience. So let me actually give you a quick demo here. Can I switch over to one? So you guys all know that compiling something to C++ is kind of a lot of work, right? I mean, there's a lot that goes on, a lot of stuff that's involved there. So in order to do this in C#, we have a number of steps that you need to go through to be able to set up your application to be able to compile .NET Native. This is the kind of thing you might want to get your notebooks out for, just to take notes here, because it might be difficult to remember. So first thing I need to do is I go into the project, and I choose Properties. And then, see this checkbox? All right, I'm done. Okay? That's all you have to do to compile .NET Native. It's just one little checkbox. But we thought even that might be a little too much work. So if you compile to release mode, let's try one more time, release mode, we have that checkbox automatically set for you. So you don't even have to think about it for release mode. In this way, if you're debugging your application, you get all the same .NET runtime debugging information that you would need when you're in debug mode. But when you want to put your application into the store, we actually require that you take that application and compile it using .NET Native to give the very best experience across all these devices. And you saw, we do it for you automatically, and if you want to do it yourself, it's only a single checkbox. So very, very simple stuff. So let me go back over to 4. So what have we covered here today? First of all, these things that showed up in XAML are a direct result of the feedback we've gotten, not only internally, but feedback from you. How many insiders in here? Excellent, okay. How many of you have tried to build a Windows 10 app? Excellent. How many of you have given feedback to us? Okay, good. So on one of the other cities, I won't say which city, I gave that talk, I said, hey, you know, this is coming from feedback directly from you all. And then they said, so how many of you have given us feedback? And not a hand went up. I was like, okay, so maybe not feedback from you guys, but feedback from the rest of the developers out there. So we get feedback from all of you through all of these different mechanisms, you know, through Visual Studio telemetry, through the Insider program, through comments, through tweets, through everything. Please keep all of that coming because we are absolutely listening, not just on the consumer side of Windows, but also on the developer side of Windows. We have whole organizations whose responsibility it is to make sure that they get feedback from folks like you and make it go into the products. The team that I'm on is part of that. We have a formal process internally where, you know, when we get feedback from customers, we open up a TFS bug. This is why the product teams love us, because we start opening bugs for every little bit of feedback we get. We open up bugs in TFS, and we make sure that these things get addressed. XAML does a lot of the hard work for you for responsive design. You know, the stuff that HTML and JavaScript developers have had available and CSS have had available for a long time are now available to XAML developers. Okay? Jeff's not up here to give me a hard time about that, but that's something that I was always jealous about for HTML and CSS. I felt the design experience was somewhat better there. Now we have this great ability to do responsive design in XAML using things like the triggers. We're using the same APIs, the same tool sets, the same languages as you all. One funny little secret that, is Jeff over there? Right? Jeff doesn't like to admit it, but you know Edge, the browser? It's written in XAML. The Chrome of it, anyway. We use this stuff internally, right? We're using this, we're making sure that we're logging bugs, we're making sure it's really stable, and most importantly, by us using the same type of things that you're using, you don't have to wait for us to create the special version for you. You see a great UI tool or trick or standard in Windows, you can immediately do it yourself because we're just building it on the same stuff you are. Some of the new Visual Studio features make it really easy for you to create these very responsive applications. You know, the ability to view the different types of device layouts on the screen, ability to actively design in those modes, and then see how it's going to look on these different types of devices without having to have every single device with you or spin up a virtual machine or anything like that. Those are all great ways to make you more productive. We didn't talk about Expression Blend or, you know, Blend for Visual Studio that's included here now, but we also still have that. We've done a lot of work to rewrite that as a true Visual Studio product, so we still offer that, and that's also a great way to build responsive design into your applications. I showed you earlier today apps running on the Raspberry Pi. We talked about HoloLens, we talked about phone, we've talked about tablets and desktops and devices like the Surface Hub. Remember, this is one application, not sharing source code, one application package, one binary, one compile per architecture, x86, 64 ARM, that we send across all of these different devices. You no longer have to create an executable just for the phone, and then create another one just for the tablet, then create another one just for Xbox. It's once, one store, one application package, one set of APIs. And I think that's, of all the things we talk about today, that's the most important thing for you to take away for Windows, is it's now so much easier for you to target all these different devices that we support because it's one set of programming models. And I think we're really the only one out there that does that. You know, other platforms make you choose if you're targeting tablet or phone versus like a desktop or a lightweight notebook of sorts. Finally, we have rich app-to-app communication, which I briefly talked about. This is something worth investigating if you're looking at using features from other applications. And then, of course, the single checkbox for native code compilation. That's all it takes. The compile takes just a little bit longer, as you would expect for using something like C++ behind the scenes. The performance increase, though, that you see is not only measurable, it's also substantially something that users are going to really notice when they try to use your application. And with that, I'm going to release you all to lunch. and then we'll start back up after lunch. I think we have an hour for lunch. We'll start back up after that with a contest. And remember, you'll need to be in your seats for that contest. So enjoy your lunch.